Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Yeah, guys, check out Hassle Cattle Company. They've got the best damn Wagyu beef in the land. Wagyu beef so good that we have it in the DNVR bar now. Yes, you can get Wagyu beef in the DNVR bar. If you're not in Denver, if you can't stop by, check out Hassle Cattle Company, H-A-S-S-E-L-L, cattlecompany.com. Get Wagyu beef delivered to your door. They've got everything, New York strip, beef bacon, Wagyu Franks, jerky flavors. You can use the code DNVR10 for 10% off your order. That's code DNVR10, 10% off your order. Any orders over $200, you will receive free shipping as well. Check them out.
Hey, Eric, when was the last time you had a Wagyu, Hassle Cattle Company Wagyu steak? It's been a while, right? Are you muted? Did you mute yourself, Eric? What are we
He's
doing
definitely
here?
Muted.
Yeah. No, it's coursing through my veins as we speak. I cooked it tonight.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my goodness.
I made a ribeye for myself tonight, a Denver steak for Holly. I cooked it up just right. And to be honest, like, I haven't really thought about much since.
But prior to that, it had been a long time since you've had any type of Wagyu hamburger or anything like that.
Nope, right? I had a Wagyu hamburger the night before.
Oh, my God.
I got to say, I'm pushing, you know, the human body is 80% water. I'm about 75% Wagyu beef at this point.
That's about right.
Midway through this podcast, Eric's going to get the meat sweats for sure. He's going to be sweeping out of his pores.
No, not with that beautiful marbled majesty of Wagyu beef. It's something about it. I'm just going to get better and stronger as we go on.
Well, what's up, everybody? Welcome into the DNVR Nuggets podcast, a little off-day edition here. We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DNVR whenever you sign up. I'm joined, of course, by the Wagyu man himself, D-Line Co.
Let's freaking go!
Do people still call you D-Line Co? Is that still sort of your default name?
If they know me, they call me Eric. I do get D-Line quite a bit. It turns out not that many people know me, so.
so it's mostly D-Line.
Yeah.
The Peloton Prince, is that catching on in your life, your day-to-day, Harrison, or not so much?
No. Not so much. We live in such a bubble in the DNVR universe. It's just like strictly in that, and then I'm just regular old Harrison Wind outside of it.
Unreal.
Unreal. Today's show, guys, we're gonna talk about the game here in first segment. You know, yesterday the Lakers games, every game, guys, my perspective, like, right after, is why I like the show, is we do the immediate winner's lounge or loser's lounge afterwards, and it's like more emotion than it is, it's like a balance, but it's more emotion than it is a day later. Then usually a day later, I'll go back and watch the game and it'll be more like, you know, cerebral, like, okay, emotionally removed from it or whatever. And so we're going to talk about that today, because with the Lakers, I feel like games are especially emotional. So they're sometimes especially, like, you know, your immediate reaction to them can be a little bit off or heightened or whatever. We're going to break down some news. Coach of the year, or coach of the month for Michael Malone. What does that mean? PJ Dozier's injury update. And then later on, we're going to bounce around. I have some weird things we could bounce around to. But I want to start. First of all, this is kind of a May the 4th. Do you guys remember this?
I hate that so much.
Nobody hates it more than I do. And I want to tell you, there's two reasons I hate this. One is I'm an old man, but this wasn't a holiday. When did you first hear May the 4th as a holiday, Eric?
I mean, it's through baseball. It's obviously a celebration of corporate values. But, at the same point in time, it's just, you know, it's kind of fun. It's just like an internet thing. It was born of the internet. It lives of the internet. People like Star Wars. The longer Star Wars has been going on, like, the more I find myself not liking it, like, the more emphasis that has been given to Star Wars. I mean, I grew up, you're an old man. I'm an old man. Star Wars actually came out in the 70s. I don't know if you're aware of this. It's not quite a long time ago. So It's weird to me that people like focus so heavily on like six movies or however nine movies. There's been a lot of movies since then. It seems weird to like think about the same movie every day for what do I know? I don't know. I mean, I too am an old man, an old meat filled man.
So I think it is ridiculous just because it just like popped up. But here's why I really hate it. Back when we were kids, and even like early for me, even after like during college or whatever, Cinco de Mayo, the Mexican holiday. We got that's our holiday. No. It's a big thing. And then slowly over time, it evolved to where like Cinco de Mayo, that's the afterthought. May the 4th. That's our holiday. Feel like
May the 4th.
Stole the Mexican holiday from
May the 4th. Like May the 4th, Price is Righted, Cinco de Mayo.
What the
Price is Righted, you guys.
It's so wait, hold Price on. Right, I came right in.
It's not the same day, right?
I mean, no, but I'm saying, tomorrow. Like, so you were like in college, you'd have, or whatever, you just have the Cinco de Mayo party. It's like, all right, we're gonna have some Coronas, we're gonna, you know, whatever.
Cinco
it's
de
like,
Mayo, Cinco de Mayo, maybe the best holiday to celebrate when you're in college.
Oh, it's such
maybe
a great
maybe the
holiday.
Best holiday in college.
St. Patrick's Day, anything that's just like unabashedly booze focused.
Yeah, it's just like we're gonna drink and eat, you know, a specific type of food this day. But yeah, this, and then all of a sudden everybody kept like, what, oh, party this week. You guys having a Cinco de Mayo party this weekend? No. We're having a May the 4th party. Like, what?
What are we doing here? Quick tangent here. Adam did not go to a regular college. Adam went to Colorado College.
That's a regular college. What do you mean? What is it?
I'm just saying, at University of Colorado, we did not celebrate May the 4th be with you.
Dad. Yeah, no. I've never actually been part of like a real celebration. To me, it's like a day where there's like this a commemorative t-shirt.
I've never heard of a May the 4th party. Like this is wild.
I'm just saying a lot of people told me, you know, May the 4th be with me today and tomorrow nobody's gonna say happy Cinco de Mayo. I'm just saying that's probably how it's gonna work out. It's co-opted. It definitely has Prices Right at Cinco de Mayo. The other thing I thought was funny that I kind of want to bring up early on Reddit today, Anthony Davis had a very like, I don't know what it is. The NBA is like going over to Reddit more and more trying to do some things. And I don't know if you guys tuned in today for Anthony Davis's AMA.
Oh, yeah. I set an alarm. Well, even though this is the first I'm hearing of it, I was
here's what's
it.
Funny is all these social medias have different, like Facebook has the most, you know, like people just screaming at each other type fans, like everybody horrible takes, but everybody's yelling. You know, Twitter has more people that are like way in the weeds. Like they're arguing over how a team should use their biannual exception, right? Reddit, I think, has there's a lot of different types there, but our NBA has a lot of like goofballs, like right. A lot of like we're just trying to be silly and absurdist. And
like if the Warriors surrounded Steph Curry with four players who held hands, how many points could he score? That's exactly. a classic Reddit
all timer. Well, the AMA with Anthony Davis today was absolutely ridiculous. All of the questions were those types of questions, like just like really dumb ones. And he was like, you could tell he had somebody sorting through them to try to find the like most coherent ones, and they were like lame as hell. But it was, I don't know, I just thought it was hilarious.
Did anyone ask him why a transcendent basketball player was dead set on making everyone call him a nickname that pointed out how ugly he is and not, but what a great basketball player he is? The brow. let's point out the fact that you have a disgusting unibrow. Not that you're a transcendent basketball player.
Did anyone ask him how Facu Campaso was able to just totally catapult him into Michael Porter Jr.?
just truck him
right into Michael Porter Jr.
Well, that brings us back. So now that we've had a day to sleep on the game last night, you know, Eric, I'll ask you because you were extra emotional last night. Every time the Nuggets suffer a very tough loss, I'm always afraid Eric's just going to quit.
Well, I always threaten it. So you're right. how am I feeling today? I mean, you know, it's a day. It's a loss. I mean, it is still like one of those measuring stick games where the Lakers were the one team that we couldn't get past last year, and we still just can't.
Yeah,
we're not quite there. It seems like we're missing that last ingredient, which we had. Whatever it is, like it's different this year. Like last year, we didn't have, you know, the defensive prowess to take care of the Lakers, and you know,
I push back. They didn't have the offensive prowess. I mean, go back that series. Denver was struggling to score.
Well, true.
The two-man game, time and time again.
True. But now, like, it seemed like we were missing shooting last night, which is something we had early on in the season, at least. Like, yeah. So you know, it seems like there still seems to be a deficiency when we're matching up against the Lakers. Although all that being said, like, it really came down to just that disallowed 3-point shot. It really could have swung in the other direction. So, truly. So there is some solace to be taken in that. But it just, like, it just doesn't sit right when the Lakers beat you, when you're the Nuggets, because you just want to talk your shit and no shit can be talked. So that, I don't like that.
What about you, Harrison? How are you feeling today?
Yeah, I feel fine. Like, even last night, I was trying to say this is just a loss. It's a loss that is fine for Denver because they're still going to be a top four seed. And I know we'll talk about that later. But, I mean, it's just a loss to the best defensive team in the league. Yeah. And the Nuggets, they have the best offensive player. But around him, there's a lot of, like, below average offensive talent. So it was no surprise to me that the Nuggets struggled to score, but I still have pretty positive vibes. I'm still thinking pretty positive because really out of all the teams that the Nuggets can match up with in the playoffs, the Lakers are still the worst matchup because they are so good defensively. And look, like, Denver's going to be really undermanned. I don't know what they're going to do in the playoffs, but I still think they've got some fight, and it was just one loss, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, I did the George Karl pod today that live. It's up on our YouTube channel. It's also a podcast you should subscribe to, Keeping It 1000 with George Karl. And he had an interesting take today that I thought was 100% correct. And that it was the Lakers were a lot more urgent. That game meant a lot to the Lakers, as evidenced by Anthony Davis, you know, pounding his chest and saying, "We're back, baby," or whatever. You know, okay, yeah, we're back. Which Matt Moore, I just talked to Matt Moore, and he had a great point about it where he said, that's actually, as the Nuggets, you know, beating the Nuggets was AD's, made AD feel like they're back. Beating the Nuggets without Jamal Murray, Will Barton, and Monte Morris, like, that's respect, you know. They would have beat the Orlando Magic, he wouldn't be pounding his chest saying we're back. But to beat an extremely shorthanded Nuggets team felt like an accomplishment. So I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But they were more urgent.
It's true, but, like, I don't care if the Lakers feel like that. I want the Lakers fan base to feel upset and, like, not to feel like they're back. Like, I get that, you know, the respect. I mean, there's always respect on the court. Like, it's just outside in the wilds of the internet where I, you know, I dwell. That's where I want. That's why I want the respect.
You do dwell.
It was tough to see the takes flying on Twitter and whatnot from Lakers fans last night because. God.
I didn't see him. I'm telling you, you got to unplug. Go. I honest to God, like, unplug for that.
I actually didn't see him either. I just knew they existed. I was bothered by it. Just
it's just because the Nuggets right now, like, the Nuggets right now are so unrecognizable. They're so unrecognizable, even from the team they were 3 weeks ago. I mean, they're healthy guards right now. They have four healthy guards. Faku, Austin Rivers, Shaq Harrison, Marcus Howard, who hasn't played a meaningful minute all year, and two of those guys weren't on this team a month ago. It's wild. Like, this is just not the Denver Nuggets, and it's
I know, but that's
I just still can't believe we're here. It's crazy. I know,
but that's, like, that is the Denver Nuggets. Like, that's who we have to go into battle with. That's the part that sucks. Yeah. It's like, that is what it is. So that's you know, you just want to see how much just any team can be rallied around Jokic, and, you know, they fought admirably, and really they could have won that game, which,
yeah.
But yeah, I just, you know, just want those depth. That's all.
you know, what's funny though, I think not enough is made of the fact that the Nuggets have evolved pretty quickly into a completely different team. I mean, most teams would not be able to have evolved. And this is a testament to, in my opinion, to both the culture, to the coaching of Michael Malone, but also, and I think most importantly, to the malleability of Jokic. It, we've come such a long way to, from 3 years ago, like, you know, you can't, you have to, it's really hard to build around Jokic. There's only one type of team, where we actually find out that within the course of one season, and really within the course of 1 month, a team around Jokic can completely swap out the players and be completely different, but equally as good, if not better, actually. I mean, 13-3 in April. And it's kind of funny. And I think that's the defining trait that I think people outside of Denver probably don't recognize. But this Nuggets team is, what is the Bruce Lee quote, be water.
Be like water.
Be mm-hmm. like water. You could form to whatever the shape of your environment. The Nuggets have done that. Like, oh, swap these players out. We're a defensive team now. Okay. That's pretty freaking cool.
It is cool. It's very cool, but you'd still want to beat the goddamn Lakers with your water.
Yeah. No, it's incredible, man. It's a huge testament to Michael Malone also, who continues to not get enough credit around here. But also, like, Tim Connelly.
When you say around here, are you talking about Eric?
Yeah, I'll start to give him a little bit more praise.
around the greater city of Denver. But Nuggets Tim Connelly Nation. Goes out and signs Shaq Harrison, who's just this bulldog defender, man. Yeah. And like, Austin Rivers is coming and defended. And yeah, it's been crazy. 13-3, you know, in April, they went 9-1 after Jamal Murray went down. I can't say enough good things. It's wild still.
Yeah. One other thing I take away from last night, you know, it's funny, the last 2-minute report now exists just to annoy fan bases. But, you know, two plays came out. The Alex Caruso travel, which I don't even remember. Do you guys remember the play they're talking about? I even went back and watched, and I was like, there's one play where he kind of stumbles. I guess he traveled. But to me, I'm like,
yeah, but Denver got a stop on that play. So I don't think, like,
that didn't affect really it.
Affected anything. Yeah.
The one that did affect it, though, was a post-up that Jokic had. I think it was his last post-up, and Marc Gasol kind of just, like, bodies him and almost knocks him over, and Jokic has to kick it out. And the reason that played, not because, like, oh, we got robbed or we got jobbed, but because I do think that was so perfectly it so perfectly demonstrates the challenge Jokic will have in that series, and that is that Marc Gasol, Andre Drummond, they're going to be physical with him, and if they set a physical tone, they're going to get away with it. And I just think that Nuggets fans can piss and moan or this or that, but that's the challenge Jokic is going to have to face. Either find out how to draw fouls from those or just play through it. And in some ways, maybe that was a good sort of last test. You know, it's like, okay, reminder, we might see him in 2 weeks. That's what's going to happen.
And we've been talking about this. Like, Jokic is the new Shaq this way. Like, he is so dominant physically in so many ways that the refs just have to allow, like, things to happen against him that couldn't possibly go up against any or go on against any other player, because otherwise he would just, I don't know, he would just be unstoppable. It's like when you play a football game and then you're like, well, they can't call offensive pass interference. They can't call pass interference on every play. So you just play super physical to start off with. And then it just sets the tone. And there's, you know, like, if it's hilarious to think about, like, what, you know, Steph Curry, what you could do to Steph Curry versus what you could do to Nikola Jokic. Right. Nikola Jokic comes out of every game where he's like literally bleeding. People like scratch and claw him like a live oak, like we said. And the refs just have to be like, well, you know, was that an actual felony? Because like we can only call felonies at this point.
My other takeaway from the game that is that I just feel like it was a really good one for Michael Porter. Not a good game from him, but a good game for him to grow from, because they got – that game was the most I've seen that I can be like, that's what the playoffs are going to be like. And he, the fact that he bounced back in the second half to me is super meaningful. So I do feel today it's like, all right, on to the next one. The Knicks are tough. You know, after Brooklyn, Utah, that the easy games are not around the corner. They just keep coming. So, or the tough games keep coming. So we'll have to see how Denver responds. Fortunately, as we'll talk about later, might not matter in the standings. Denver might be kind of locked into a seed right now, but we'll talk about that later. Let's take a break, though, Harrison. On the other side, we'll get into Coach of the Year or Coach of the Month. I keep saying Coach of the Year. Coach of the Month.
Well, maybe Coach of the Year, too. Maybe.
And also PJ Dozier. We have an update.
Yeah, guys, make sure to check out the Mile High City Copper Lager from Breck Brew. You can't miss it in that Nuggets Skyline can. Great beer to sip on during games. Pretty light, not too heavy. Still gets you going. Check out the Mile High City Copper Lager from Breck Brew. Pick it up everywhere. Pick it up at the Breck Brew Farmhouse. If you've never been down there, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's huge. You can get food there also. You can also pick up some beers. Pick it up at your local liquor store as well. The Mile High City Copper Lager from Breck Brew. Also, if you're if you're listening to this podcast, I know a lot of our DNVR listeners are already on Gabby, but you could probably be saving some money on your car and home insurance. Gabby customers, they save $961 per year on average, and they'll never sell your info. So no annoying spam or robocalls or anything like that. What you have to do is go to gabby.com/DNVR, gabby.com/DNVR, enter in all your insurance info, your car and home insurance. They'll run your numbers against 40 of the top providers, and they'll tell you where you can save money. And a lot of us at DNVR are saving money. A lot of DNVR listeners are saving money. So check them out. Get a better insurance with Gabby. That's what it stands for. It's totally free to check out. No obligation. Go to Gabby.com/DNVR. Gabby.com/DNVR.
All right, back here on the DNVR Nuggets podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. So, Coach Michael Malone, the coach of the month. Well-deserved. Excited for him. Where are my drops here? Are they a little applause? A little hell yeah. Okay. Cock screech. Okay, why not? I'm pretty pumped for Coach Malone. I got to say, man, what do you think, Harris? I'm pretty excited that he got this recognition. Denver goes 13-3 in April. That's a hell of a coaching job he did.
It's a hell of a job, man. I think he's the first Nuggets coach to win it since George won it in 2013, but absolutely well-deserved. And look, there is no coach I'd rather have in the NBA if I've got my team with their back up against the wall. Like, there is no coach that I would rather have on my team if I'm undermanned, if I need to be resilient, if I need to be inspired. There's nobody I'd rather have than Michael Malone. Yeah, like, would I like Eric Spoelstra if I was in a game 7 of the NBA Finals? Yeah, but for the Nuggets' current position, there's no one else I'd rather have. And this was a masterful coaching job in April, a masterful coaching job, because there was a moment after the Jamal Murray injury where things could have really spiraled, I thought. Things could have really bottomed out and spirits could have gotten super low. And I'm surprised they didn't, but I think it's a testament to Malone and him really just inspiring his guys and him somehow just coming up with some belief, making his guys believe. So super well deserved.
How do you think, Gary?
Yeah, man, everybody fucks with Mike. Like, there's a reason. Like, it's true.
I need to make that a drop.
I know. He's Michael Malone's an army. He's an army sergeant. He's a general. Like, he really has the hearts and minds of the players that play under him. I mean, the knock on Michael Malone is always that he's, you know, the in-game management stuff can be frustrating. And oftentimes he's like slow to adapt and make changes. But if you're talking about any of the other sides of what it is to be a coach, like, he's just as good as it gets. And, you know, that's why pairing him with Nikola Jokic makes so much sense, because Nikola Jokic is the one that really runs things out there. You know, they're not looking for tons of plays to be called. They're not looking for tons of, and they do. I mean, obviously that's not, they're not devoid of that, but just the fact that you could pair those two personality types, like, you know, if it just makes you just wonder, like, what could this team be if we just didn't have all of these injuries? Like, it just, everything was working out perfectly with just the meshing of all of these personalities coming together. And Michael Malone, obviously at the center of all of that. I mean, I continue to be so impressed by him. I mean, there are times when you just have to defend him to so many people that just don't. And it's just a lot of people.
It's over. I honestly think the Michael Malone slander is like, it's gone for at least a long while. Everybody F's with Mike comment is like, how do you argue with the player saying, hey, we all love the dude? Like, you can't argue with that.
I know, but it's like, oh, he's playing Barton too long or whatever. That's like that type of stuff that you're like, yeah, oh, come
people
on,
gotta, like, that stuff happens with every single coach in the league, man. Like Eric like Heat fans are probably mad at Eric Spoelstra for his rotations.
This is Eric's best theory, that every fan base has the same like issues. Like, they're playing this guy too many minutes or whatever. They're not playing fast enough, or they're playing too fast. Like, it's always the same story.
All human beings are the same. Every company is the same. Every fan base is the same. Human beings all just construct the same structures and then just live inside of them. Yeah. Back off, Michael Malone.
The spirals of the Fibonacci sequence.
Fibonacci sequence. Yeah,
they replicate themselves across everything, both
it's true
genetically and memetically.
It's unbelievably true. So back off, Moch, would you?
There's this, you know, Malone's approach, because I remember us talking about it the day after you know, Jamal Murray goes down and the Nuggets go out there and Michael Malone, they win. Michael Malone's all pissy. And we kind of joked about it, like, geez, relax. But, you know, I do think that this is like, that was his way of setting the tone of, hey, we didn't give up. Like, we're not going for moral victories. We're going for victories. And it reminds me in some ways, you guys, people have listened to me long enough know that Deadwood's one of my favorite shows. Then one of my favorite scenes in television across any show, there's this one scene where the newspaper guy gets his, like, printing press destroyed and all this or that, and the gangster walks into his office and is asking him why he's not up and running again.
Why ain't you up and running again?
I'm in despair. The physical damage is repairable, but the psychic wound may be permanent.
You ever been beaten, Merrick?
Once, when I thought I had the smallpox, Doc Cochran slapped me in the face. Stop it, Al.
Are you dead?
Well, I'm in pain, but no, I'm obviously not dead.
But obviously you didn't fucking die when the doc slapped you.
No.
So including last night, that's three damage incidents that didn't kill you. Pain or damage don't end the world, or despair, or fucking beatings. The world ends when you're dead. Until then, you got more punishment in store. Stand it like a man and give some back.
And I feel like that was the tone Michael Malone was setting, was like, yeah, Murray's out. What do you guys want to do? You want to quit? Like, we're not going to quit. So why don't we go out there and try to win? And whether there was sulking or not, whether this was needed or not, Michael Malone knew there just could be no hesitation, no stopping. And that's why the Nuggets are 13-3, is they just never came up for air to be like, oh, what are we going to do? It's just like, well, let's just keep fighting. And, you know, maybe we'll land on our feet.
They don't know how to come up for air. I mean, look at some of the guys on this roster. Nikola Jokic, like, he plays the same whether it's game 7 of the NBA Finals or like a regular season game. Faku Kimpasa, like, are you kidding, man? Did you know Faku's played in the second most games on the Nuggets this season? It's Nikola, then Faku.
He's played the second most.
The guy's just an animal.
That's awesome.
The guy goes 120 miles per hour every single play of every single game, doesn't get hurt, and never gets tired. Yeah. It's absolutely unbelievable. But, like, the guys on this roster, they don't know how to quit. They don't know how to slow down. You've got guys on this roster like Shaq Harris and Austin Rivers who are fighting for their NBA lives. You think they're going to ease up? Like, no, nah, it's just not in how this team was built. It's not in their DNA.
Well, I'll tell you another thing that from the George Karl, I know you were there for at least part of it, Eric, but today one of the funniest things that came from it was that George Karl loves Fasu, you know, Fasu. Not Faku. He loves Fasu. But why does he love him? He, just as I said about Michael Malone, he's like, you know, I played a lot like Fasu back in the day. That he really reminds me of how I played. I'm telling you, every coach in the NBA,
I was gonna say,
is every Faku. Coach.
Every coach except Doc Rivers was Faku. That's like, you know, comes to...
and Scott Brooks.
No, Scott Brooks. I mean, come on,
definitely, big Faku vibes.
I'm kidding. Scott Brooks was the definition of Faku. That's exactly who he was.
It's so hilarious, man. So congrats to Michael Malone. I'm happy for him. I think it's the coolest thing that he got this honor, and, you know, it made me feel good when I saw that. PJ, another George Karlism, PJ Dozier, or Dozier. PJ Dozier. We got an update today, guys. It's an adductor. It's an adductor. I could have guessed. Like, if you just next year's tarot card reading with Ariana, it's just going to be the adductor card. Every time we're like, wow, the four of adductors.
What we'll do is be like, all right, let's turn a card for Jamal Murray's abductor.
It's the tower.
Not him as the player. Specifically the adductor.
The upside down. I can't remember the names of them. Damn it.
The sprain of pentacles.
It's funny. Yeah, the sprain of pentacles. It's funny because, you know, we heard initially, like, the team, they avoided disaster or whatever. And tomorrow, by the way, is a little tease, the pregame show. If you're not watching the pregame show, you're missing out. Tomorrow, Dr. Balaji joins the show. We're going to have an actual surgeon to come and talk about all of you with, like, real great detail. So I can't wait to ask him. We'll have a lot more insight on him. But it sounds like,
play that game, Operation. Do somebody have that?
Should we make him put on the doctor's
coat? I do have it.
Should we make him bring the game?
He should play, and he should
play Dr. Balaji. Like, you have to pretend to be a doctor here. Oh, we're definitely doing this. So dumb. But I'm curious because it sounds like this is one that'll probably keep him out for the rest of the regular season, and maybe he comes back in the playoffs. What do we make of this injury? The fact that it is, I know a lot of people hit us up today and is like, is it the training staff? I mean, guys, I don't know. Like, correlation and causation, I don't know. Maybe not. We just don't know. But what was your response, Harrison?
I mean, not surprised. I was a little surprised when they said, like, oh, he's questionable to return last night. It didn't seem like that was going to be the case at all when he went down and limped off. But I did a quick, like, Twitter search just at Harrison Wind, all the tweets I've tweeted about an adductor, and it just, like, goes on and on and on. Like, there are 100 tweets that I've tweeted out about an adductor with the Nuggets in the past. We know all about the adductor. We know it can take some time to heal. Gary Harris, I think, missed 7 games with an adductor. This was before the trade deadline, obviously. Then came back for that game, re-injured it, and then was out like another 10-plus games. But 7 games initially, and then he came back. So I would say around that at a minimum. I know everybody's different. Everything can heal, but that's about what I would ballpark it at. It's a huge loss. It's massive. PJ Dozier led the Nuggets in plus-minus in April.
Yeah.
Like, not Nikola Jokic, not Michael Porter Jr. PJ Dozier led the Nuggets in plus-minus in April. He was huge after Jamal Murray went down. Massive loss.
You're the plus minus king. I don't know, man. Like, this has been something that's been circulating around the Nuggets Nation for many years. The questioning whether or not the fact that we see these injuries crop up over and over, if there is some sort of something you can draw back and you can start to look at, like, the way that they are training their athletes or the
You know one reason why people question this, though, is because the Nuggets are cheap in certain areas. Yeah. It's like, not like they have the greatest training facility. So it makes you wonder, well, do they have the greatest, like,
totally.
Are they paying? You watch the Houston Rockets in the Morey era, and they would come in, you know, to the hallway to do all their stretches or whatever. But they had, like, machines, and they were like, all right, you're going to do your stretches, and your biomechanics, we're going to test them to make sure you're not showing a hidden weakness or whatever. And then you see the Nuggets, and it's like their gym is smaller than, like, one at a Holiday Inn, and you're just like, oh my God, this is your training facility. So there are reasons to be skeptical of it.
Dude, you remember the second Yusuf Nurkic showed up in Portland? They were like, what the hell? Like, one of his legs is bigger than the other one. Like,
I don't know, man. He's had like 4 injuries.
That's a really good counterpoint.
But here's one thing that Terry Stotts said that I will never forget. And he said, that would have never happened here. So we just got to get him right by our standards or whatever. And I just remember being like, oh, oof. That's tough.
Yeah. It's,
Terry Stotts might be out of a job after this year.
But this is not something new. This is not something new. And it goes on and on. And I don't know, maybe every team is the same in this way and we just don't notice it, but it really does seem like core injuries are an unending plague in the world of Nuggets land.
Yeah, everything from the waist to the knee, just that area. Not good.
Yeah, it's a rough one.
Hamstrings, quads. Is there a player you're excited to see more? I mean, we're going to see a lot of Shaq Harrison. We're going to see a lot of Austin Rivers. We're going to see a lot of Faku.
I just like watching Shaq Harrison.
Me too.
He's probably at maybe the limit of, like, what good basketball that he can provide Denver in the minutes that he's getting. Like, you don't want to be playing Shaq Harrison over 30 minutes a game. And on some nights, he's really approaching that limit.
He's going to play 30 minutes tomorrow night if it's competitive. Like, who else is going to play? I mean, he'll play 25 at least.
But I just like watching Shaq Harrison. He's like Faku. He doesn't slow down. He's sprinting everywhere. He is just an absolute bulldog on defense. No fear. I like watching him. Is there, so he loves Shaq Harrison, and we know why. He's a Harrison, a fellow Harrison.
I know, right? Right.
Is that, were you like a big Eric Piotrowski guy back in the day, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, who wasn't? Whom amongst the Erics was not a big Eric Piotrowski guy?
I will say.
I was an Eric Montrose man more than anything.
Eric Piotrowski, the thing I liked about him was on video games, Kobe Bryant's courtside 97 or 98, whatever it was I used to play back in the day on the old Super Nintendo. I think that was Eric Piotrowski was like the guy you would stick in the corner and he'd just make it every time. So
yeah. He was before his time, some would say. Before his time.
It was, I have Adam Morrison. I don't think there's another. He might be the best Adam.
Really? Adam Morrison? There's not any other Adams?
I'm going to look. I'm on Basketball Reference. Oh, Alvin Adams, Micah Adams, Stephen Adams. So I could do some of those. But if you go first name,
you need a first name.
Yeah, I'm telling you the best, man, the best one, Michael Adams, Stephen Adams, Alvin Adams. It's rough. It's rough out there.
It is hard out there for the Adams.
Well, there's only been one Harrison, I think, first name. That's my guy, Harry Barnes.
Harrison Barnes.
My guy.
Anyway, you know, Eric, are you excited to see Austin Rivers?
Well, I was going to say, like, am I excited? Like, I will say that I'm hopeful that we can start to see a little bit of what I know Austin Rivers can be, just with the actual basket making, which we've not seen that at all. So I'm hoping that, you know, now that the reality of his situation is creeping into where he's not fighting for his life and maybe he's feeling a little bit more comfortable, that maybe he'll start to get in a rhythm and he'll start to make shots. I hate that we have to rely on that, but, like, you know, this is where we are. It's crazy that PJ Dozier was like the third, fourth guy down that we're like, all right, well, we lost this guy. So, right. All right, well, Barton's down. So, you know, PJ is going to step up. This is a big time for PJ.
He has the
comedy of what we've gone through in the past month is just, I mean, it's staggering. Yeah. It's staggering. I can't believe there's hope apparently that maybe some of these players will be back by the playoffs. But at that point, it's like, dude, I don't even know how you work them in time. It's crazy. But, you know, through Jokic, all things are possible. So
I'm excited. I'm excited to see Austin Rivers. Like, I know that we've seen him already, but he hasn't been making shots. And I wonder if there's like a level of like even less pressure now, because it's like, look, man, I mean, we don't expect anyone to make shots right now. Like, we're not counting on Shaq Harrison or Faku to give us 20. And maybe he goes out there and just lets it fly. And I've got to say, man, it's weird, but I really enjoyed the Austin Rivers redemption tour in Denver. And this gives him I really have, even though he
I like the idea shot. Of it, but it hasn't been fun to watch.
It has been fun to watch for me, though. Like I said, man, I think he has played good basketball other than making shots. But I feel like he's doing the right things, you know? To me, that's – I know it's silly, but Denver has won games. And sometimes guys make shots and do the wrong thing, and you lose. And sometimes guys do the right thing and don't make shots, and you could still win. And I just – I hope it would be a great story for me if Austin Rivers was the guy that kept the Nuggets afloat here for the next three games or whatever it is until
What is this season?
Is there a chance that the Nuggets cut somebody and just to sign another guard – that they would feel more comfortable throwing out there?
I'm not going to lie. I expected that today, because we know that with COVID, there's the protocol. You add a guy and then they've got to come in and test and isolate and all these different things. And part of me, I thought if they were going to do it, they would have gotten on that night. They would have been like, hey, Marcus, you're not going home with us. You're going to stay here in LA. And I just wondered if they were going to do that. So the fact that they haven't yet, maybe they're just going to ride this wave out. But I really don't know. I do also hope that, you know, maybe Bol Bol gets a stab. Maybe they play really big and Zeke Nagy gets on the court. I love Vladko. I think he does a lot of good things, but I'd rather see those other two before him. But sure.
That's a thought. What if you just go super big and you push Michael Porter up to the two?
Yeah, that's a bummer. But I mean, yeah, why not? What else are you gonna do?
I mean, yeah.
You might break basketball for a game or two. And also, when you do that, it's like the game last year in the playoffs with Mason Plumlee at the shooting guard or whatever. It's like everyone's kind of like, well, this is ridiculous. Win or lose, who cares? This will be fun. This will be. Yeah. And maybe you do that against the Knicks. Maybe not Utah. But, you know, Brooklyn and New York, yeah, mess around. Those games don't matter that much. Mess around. Have some fun. Let's take a break. On the other side, we're going to wrap up by looking at the Around the NBA shorter segment, but we'll just kind of look around the NBA tonight and what that means and set you up for where all the standings have changed and where they're headed.
Yeah, guys, right now, DNVR listeners at manscaped.com. You guys can get 20% off your Manscaped products plus free shipping. That plus free shipping. You get 20% off with the code DNVR at manscaped.com plus free shipping. You can check out that perfect package. Within that perfect package,
I'll check out that perfect package.
The Manscaped Crop Preserver.
Enormous.
Deodorant, making sure your balls are smelling majestic.
Eric shaking his head in disappointment.
Before your night out, maybe at a Nuggets game, I don't know. You also find that Crop Reviver, the ball toner. So everything you need inside that perfect package, get it from Manscaped. Get it for 20% off plus free shipping with the code DNVR. Again, use the code DNVR at manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping. Also, we've got more boxing this weekend on DraftKings. This
Canelo!
Weekend, Canelo, is that who it is?
I believe so. Yeah,
just in time for Cinco de Mayo.
That's right, baby. Yeah, well, it's a great May the 4th fight. It's a great May the 4th matchup.
Yeah, make sure to head over to DraftKings for all your betting this weekend. If you're getting in that Canelo fight, whatever other sporting event you want to lay some money down on, DraftKings is offering all new users a shot at turning $1 into $55. Again, to celebrate this weekend's huge event, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering new users the opportunity to get 55-1 odds on either main event fighter to win this weekend's fight. So bet $1, and if the fighter of your choice wins, you cash $55. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code DNVR when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can bet $1 to win $55 on this weekend's main fight. That's right, DraftKings Sportsbook, they're going all out for new users by offering them a chance to win $55 when placing a bet of $1 on this weekend's big fight. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Finally, got a new partner to talk about. Really excited about these guys. Solace Meds. Solace Meds, one of the premier dispensaries. They're located right here in Denver. 4 convenient Colorado locations, including one on East Colfax, just blocks from the DNVR bar. Again, East Colfax, just blocks from the DNVR bar. Stop in there if you're in the area. Solace Meds. They've got some awesome deals. Adam, they've got a Cinco de Mayo deal. They're celebrating Cinco de Mayo.
Let's go.
Yeah. Buy 3, get 1 free on the entire store, plus an additional 20% off when using the code DNVR20 at checkout. So remember to use that code DNVR20 to get 20% off at checkout at Solace Meds. They got tons of other deals as well on like everything in that store, I think. So if you're stopping in or you can order online, solacemeds.com, use the code DNVR20 to save 20% off at checkout.
You know, Solace Meds, like one of these places that named themselves when you had to still be for medicinal purposes. But you can just get regular old weed with no medicinal purposes of any kind. Like, all, you buy it just to get high.
It's always so funny to me. Maybe we won't go. I was going to go off on a tangent. I thought better of it. Bouncing around the association here. The Suns tonight picked up a win over the Cavaliers. Shocker, I know. 134-118. Isn't it wild, these scores, when you look around some? You think about the Nuggets just played a game in which it was 89-93. And then you look also on that same night, team scored 154. Very different league we have going on right now. Out west, the Mavericks beat the Heat. An important one for standing purposes because we really are rooting for the Mavs to move up. I just think there's a better chance of Denver being the 4 and Mavericks being the 5 than there is of like the 3-6 is just going to be such a mystery up right up to the end. Warriors Pelicans, the Warriors drop. This one bugs me because I was really hoping for the Warriors to get into that play-in and play the Lakers in the first. And they had such, it was all, the entire table was set up for this. All that they had to do was beat a team that's already eliminated, and the Warriors can't do it. Warriors are so disappointing. They only beat the Nuggets.
I know. What the hell? The Kings and the Warriors. Who are you?
Who are you guys? This is California in general. Horrible, horrible state. Just godforsaken state. And then the Clippers tonight pick up the win. They were down for the first half. I thought that it was going to happen. I thought they were going to drop it, but they end up winning by 5 against the Raptors. And of course, that moves them a half game ahead of the Nuggets now. So they are back in the 3 seed. Nuggets back down to the 4 seed. But as you look at this, guys, and I'll ask you first, Harrison, the Lakers don't have LeBron for at least 2 more games and maybe longer than that. I don't think they're going to win a lot of games. I think the Lakers are not the 5 seed. If I was a betting man, I would bet. I am a betting man. I don't think I can.
We all are betting men.
Can I bet on them to not be the 5th seed? Because I would put a lot of money on them not to be the 5th seed. I think they're going to fall to the 6. Maybe this. I think there's a better chance of them being the 7 seed than there is the 5th seed. Do you think I'm delusional? They don't. That wasn't an impressive Lakers win last night.
No, not at all. You're not delusional. I'm with you too, because they've got the Clippers coming up without LeBron. That's probably a loss.
When you say coming up, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
And here's what I wonder. The Clippers play a back-to-back. The Clippers are looking at the standings. I think the Clippers might throw this one. I'm very curious to see how the Clippers approach this game.
You don't think the Clippers want to send the Lakers to the play-in game?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they go to they're already in LA. They play the Clippers. They're at the Clippers. Then they're on a back-to-back. I don't think LeBron's playing in this one either. At Portland. Then they're home versus Phoenix, home versus New York. Then they finish up with some cake. Houston, Indiana, New Orleans. But I'm with you. I think they're going to keep dropping. I bet they probably finish at the 7. And with Denver, I think Denver's going to be the 4, because when you look at the Clippers schedule, it's also really easy down the stretch. Lakers, Knicks, Raptors, and then the Hornets, Rockets, Thunder to finish it up. So yeah, I think the Lakers are going to keep dropping.
Eric, is this wishful thinking to think that, you know, when you play at the end of the season, you play the the tanking teams, like it's just, you count that as a win, but don't you feel like a lot of organizations hate the Lakers? And as you talk about that schedule, it gets caked down the stretch, New Orleans, Indiana, Houston. Don't you think that Houston might be like, you know what, guys? No, we're not trying to lose tonight. We're going all out. Let's send the damn Lakers into the play-in. I just feel like even tanking teams get a little pleasure out of that.
No, Chip. No, Chip. Really? No, once you flip that tank, dude, once you flip the tank switch, like, you know what that's like, where like everybody in that organization, every fan of that team, that like none of those people have watched the Houston Rockets play for the last month and a half. Like, all they're doing is playing the ESPN lottery machine to see like who they could possibly get. Like, they don't care about the Lakers. Like, they're not engaged with this season. No, those are
all right.
Those are gifts.
I will give you Houston, and I will even give you Indiana. No connection. But New Orleans, the last game of the season, you don't think there's a little Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart are like, wait a second. Yeah. If we win tonight, the Lakers have to go to the play-in? I feel like they might play that game.
It's entirely possible. It's entirely possible. Entirely
Especially possible. If Lonzo keeps playing like this. He had the game winner tonight, didn't he?
A little mid-range step back. Yeah, he had a little bucket. All I'm saying is I'm rooting for it, man. I'm rooting so hard for it because the Nuggets need it. They need it to happen. But even if it doesn't, L.A., Portland, Phoenix, New York, that's 4 games. I'm rooting for a 4-game losing streak from the Lakers. Without LeBron, I just think it's a little more possible. So buck up, Nuggets fans. I think
it's probably going to be up to Anthony Davis, like how far the Lakers fall, because his first couple games back, he just couldn't really give a shit, and then turned it on for the we're back game against Denver. Like, how he played against Denver, that's not how Anthony Davis had played in his first couple games back. So if he's playing like that,
he didn't play to me. I didn't think he was back. Like, but he had a good game, but I didn't think he had an I'm back game. He's had a good game. We'll see if he plays good again.
But if he keeps trending in this direction, maybe the Lakers don't fall. But if he kind of goes into, I'm gonna just save everything for the playoffs, maybe they fall.
They're falling, baby. So buck up, Nuggets fans. Nuggets might be stuck in the 4 seed, but fear not. I think the Lakers are going to end up falling to the 6.
And also, like, this is the roughest stretch of the season for the Nuggets that we're just in the middle of right now. We took out
the Knicks. I remember when this schedule came out, and I was like, wait, they play the Lakers, the Clippers, the Knicks, the Nets Jazz. And Jazz in five games, May 1st through 5th. Holy shit, this was back so in gross, December. Man. When the schedule came out,
I just want them to beat the Jazz. Like, I mean, I don't care about those other two games. If they beat the Jazz, I'll feel like, all right, I'm ready for the play. They beat the Clippers, they beat the Jazz. All right, let's go. Let's get into it.
I don't know. I know. I agree. I totally agree. I totally agree. I just feel like this is we're like heading into like a super bummer week going into the playoffs. And like we're gonna have to like lift our spirits. Like, you know, we just lost all of our goddamn players. Like it's just like a confluence of events that just the world is conspiring against us. Like I don't think that it says that we can't do anything in the playoffs, but I would prepare yourselves for an emotion, like emotionally barricade yourself this week.
So what if Donovan Mitchell comes back for this Jazz game and the Nuggets just win? That would be like,
oh, I'm telling you, it's on the table. That's the best scenario. And then you're just like fully in their heads. And it's like, well, the Nuggets were struggling, but they got the Jazz because they always get the Jazz. I almost hope the Nuggets lose the next two just to beat the Jazz. So the Jazz feel extra bad about losing to the Nuggets. This is my new hope. Let's fire it up. All right, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We're going to be back, obviously, in the pregame show. You're not going to want to miss it. Dr. Balaji, he's going to be in studio with us, breaking down all of the Nuggets injuries to Jamal Murray. He's going to talk about the recovery from ACL surgery. What does that timetable look like? He's going to talk about the adductors that have come. He's going to talk about Will Barton. Every player that's out, we're going to go through all of it. So you won't want to miss that. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Now, before we get out of here, check out the Colorado XOs, the 5-2 Colorado XOs. And if you're not familiar with the Colorado XOs, it's a rugby team that's pretty much comprised of a bunch of different athletes, elite athletes from all different sports, football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, soccer, track and field. They've been turned into rugby players on the Colorado XOs, and they're playing at Infinity Park. They're playing right now. They're 5-2. It's a lot of fun to get out there and watch. And pretty much the rugby USA national team is being infused with this talent. So check them out. They're 5-2. A lot of fun to watch the Colorado XOs.